شكراً يا ربي شكراً.
مركز صحابة online radio serving you wherever you are.
الحمد لله نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي هب لي حكما والحقني بالصالحين واجعل لي لسان صدق في الآخرين. Esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaah, and the listeners of Sirius FM, we welcome you and our listeners all over the world. We welcome you to this program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madahib al-Arba'a, and this is Jurisprudence according to the four Madahib, according to the four schools of thought. Today we have a specific topic and we will be entertaining your questions. Our topic is on lessons from Hajj and Qurbani. Mufti Saab will be here in a while and we will start shortly. You can send your queries through to 084-786-3132. And if you're in a foreign country, it will be +2784 786 3132. So the topic is lessons from Hajj and Qurbani, and what lessons can we derive from this honorable ibadah that took place yesterday. So alhamdulillah, we have Mufti Saab here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti
Saab. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa zaid jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, we have a few questions here, and the first question is these 10 days, can we still fast in these few days that are left?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We welcome the listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Alhamdulillah, today is the 11th of Zulhijjah, 1442. So we know that yesterday in South Africa, Southern Africa was Eid, and on Tuesday was Eidul Adha in Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwarah, Masjidul Aqsa, and many other countries. So some countries celebrated on Tuesday, some celebrated on Wednesday. Regarding the fasting, remember these laws and then I will explain to you the days. That in Islam, 5 days to fast is haram and not permissible. The first of Shawwal, one cannot fast, and that is Eid al-Fitr. Ramadan Mubarak finishes and the month of Shawwal has started. So first of Shawwal is that it is Eid al-Fitr, so it's haram to fast on that day. Likewise on Eid al-Adha, the day we sacrifice the goat, the sheep and so forth. So that day also to fast is haram and not permissible. Then the 11th, 12th, 13th. So for us here in South Africa today, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, fasting haram, not permissible. And remember for those who celebrated Eid al-Adha on Tuesday, so it will be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So a person in South Africa, Southern Africa, people who made Eid yesterday, if you want to start fasting, so remember from Sunday only you can fast. Today, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you can't be fasting. That would not be permissible. So then why is it not permissible? Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ayyamu aklin wa shurbin wa zikrillah. And remember that these are the days of eating, drinking, and remembering Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. And remember it collectively, these 3 days. So we will say that Eid al-Adha for the 10th. And then for 11, 12, 13, one collective name will be Ayyamu Tashriq. Ayyam is the plural of Yom. So one day Yom. Ayyam, the plural, Tashriq. You know, when you go to Makkah Mukarramah, you will see it there. And then people get confused also in Makkah. So you will see the big, big watches everywhere, the gold color watches. So it's written there, Shuruq. So let's say it's just written the example I'm giving, 6 o'clock. So people think Shuruq means Ishraq time. That's wrong. Shuruq means remember sunrise time. So after that, you must add another 15 minutes or so. How many times we have to correct the people and rectify? 6 o'clock, for example, they just start reading Salat. And that exact time when the sun is rising. So Ayyamu Tashriq, in those days, the good old days, that the people would slaughter, and then on the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, they would let the hide, the skin, go through the tanning process. They would leave the skin and the hide, remember, there in the sun. The rays of the sun would strike it, hit it, and then they would add certain things, for example, whatever they used in those days, and that was the tanning process. So Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that kullu ihabin dubiga faqad tahura. Every skin, every hide that has been tanned, you call it dabaghat in Arabic, so now that is pak, is tahir, is clean, you can make it a musalla, you can read salat on it, you can use it as a carpet in your house, in your shop, wherever. You can use it in your car as a seat cover and so forth and so on, except the swine. The swine would not be permissible. And Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah states that how the swine is najasul ain, bumper to bumper, top to bottom. So every part of it is haram and najis and impure. He, Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, says the kalb, the dog also is najasul ain. So every part of it, bumper to bumper, top to bottom. So even if you take the skin, the hide, and you tan it, so that would not be permissible. So that is the academic discussion. But easy answer will be that no one is allowed to fast. Everybody works according to your own country. On the 11th, on the 12th, on the 13th of Zulhijjah. See one masla here of interest, very interesting. So remember, in Muharram, Safar, all the months, that it's sunnah to fast on the 13th, 14th, 15th. And that is called Ayyamul Bid, the days when the moon is shining in its glory and brightness and so forth. So remember, you take from Muharram right up to Zulqa'dah, excluding Ramadan, because Ramadan every day we have to fast. So you will say 13, 14, 15 is sunnah to fast. But when we come to Zulhijjah, this month which we are in now, so remember, we will say the three fasts are 14, 15, and 16. So always make a note of that. So here in South Africa, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, fasting not allowed. We will start fasting from Sunday, inshallah, for those who want to fast.
Mufti Sahab, till when can we make qurbani?
Remember, till when can we make qurbani? This is called Ayyamul Udhiya. So Udhiya, you see in the Quran Sharif is mentioned, wa ay yuhsharan nasu duha. So what is the best time to make qurbani? So I made qurbani, for example, yesterday, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, because I just paid the money here to our maulanas and them in there in the deer. The maulanas there, they do the qurbani, mashallah. So I didn't go myself and so forth. So I told them, anytime you want to do it, but that's the preferred time. So maulana, you went today, for example, and you slaughtered your qurbani 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. So mashallah, so that is duha. So that is why it's called udhiya. So which are the days for qurbani? So let's take South Africa first. So Wednesday we had Eid. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So before sunset on a Friday, the qurbani must be done. Those who celebrated Eid on Tuesday, so Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So Thursday before sunset, remember the qurbani, the udhiya must be sacrificed and slaughtered. For you, Maulana, ulama, students, all who interested and you want to go into the depth of fiqh and jurisprudence, there's an excellent book which I have, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Al-Masailul Lati, In farada biha Shafi'i duna ikhwatihi. Those masail where Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah is alone one side, and the other three imams on the other side, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. So this is one of them. So majority scholars and jurors state and say the fatwa is the days of Qurbani are, remember, the 10th, the 11th, the 12th. So it was yesterday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, before sunset, you must be finished. Only Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he says that you can perform the Qurbani on the 13th also. So according to majority scholars, how many days are there for Qurbani? 3 days. And according to Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah alone, he will say there are 4 days. So why does Masla is important? I know several years ago, there was a huge controversy there in Malawi. So the people, you know, there in the remote areas, they Shafi'i, our African brothers, sisters, and so forth. So they slaughtered on the 13th. So many people told them it's not valid. So then I gave the Masla and said, no, that it is valid because they followed the Shafi'i school. That's a different thing, that to get out of the difference of opinion, what we call in our terms, our jargon and legal terms, al-khuruj min al-khilaf, that to come out of the differences, is best to make the Qurbani slaughtering, according to the Shafi'is also, on the 10th, on the 11th and 12th. But for some reason or the other, they didn't do it, because the animals were too expensive, or whatever it is. And on the 13th, it's very, very cheap. So you must remember, therefore, they slaughtered it. So that will be permissible, only exclusively according to the Shafi'i school, and there you will find it. Therefore, I gave you the reference. The book is written by Allama Ibn Kathir, Sahib al-Tafsir, the one who wrote the commentary, Tafsir Ibn Kathir, Rahimahullah's Tafsir. So there you will find another point if you want. Ibn Kathir, Rahimahullah, Ibn Taymiyyah, Rahimahullah, Subhanallah, they all buried in the same graveyard in Damascus, in Dimashq, and that graveyard cemetery is called Maqabir al-Sufiyyah, the graveyard of the Sufis, the Awliyaullah, the Ahlullah. So these are all important finer points to remember as well, and they come in very handy, mashallah.
Mufti Saab, a listener wants to know, is it a sin if we don't eat the kalaji on evening?
There's no sin. You must remember that when it comes to eating, drinking, everybody has their own taste and so forth. However, we as Muslims, we should always look at, you must remember, chapter 3, verse 31. And what is that? Fattabi'uni. In kuntum tuhibbun Allah. If you really love Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, fattabi'uni. Follow me, Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How? Immaculately. I told you before, ittiba. So ittiba means you have the cow. The cow gave birth to the calf. The calf is called tabi'. So how the calf follows the mother everywhere, we must imitate and try and imitate Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all walks of life. Remember that. So in that way there, yuhbibkumullah, you become the beloved of Almighty Allah. Wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, and Almighty Allah jalla wala will forgive you your sins. So that is chapter 3, verse 31. Now let us take Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hajj, udhiya and so forth. The hajj was separate, I mentioned that just now. But the udhiya, that is the qurbani. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in Medina Munawwara. Faswalli li rabbika wanhar. So you perform the Eid Salat, Eidul Adha Salat. Day after the sacrifice, so Dahar, Nahar refers to the camel, and Zabah will refer to the cow, the goat, the sheep, and so forth. Nahar means the animal will be standing. So you fasten the one leg, the hind leg, the back leg, and then you poke it. But me and you can't do all this. You need to have skill and expertise in that, otherwise the camel can harm you also. And remember, number two will be the goat, the sheep, the cow, you drop it, and thereafter you sacrifice it. Obviously, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, all that has to be said. So after the Eid Salat, the sacrifice would take place. After that, they would cook it. And then from there, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have the kabit, the kaleji, the liver. And today also, I send one article out, and how it is so good to have kaleji and the liver and so forth. Even from a health perspective, it is so beneficial and so forth. So people should read that as well. And I, you know, that maybe I didn't send it to all the groups. So in the afternoon sometime, inshallah, I will try and send it out. So you can see everything. We just must be our belief that everything of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one sunnah is khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha, is better than this world and better than whatever it contains. Because not only is there reward and so forth, our sins getting forgiven, but even physically, spiritually, we will benefit from it. That is the unique feature of Islam, the characteristic of Islam. So therefore, we will say it is not a sin upon you, but if we have that level of iman, we have that level of love for Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then definitely we will imitate and emulate the master alayhi salatu wasalam in all walks of life. It don't mean now you have to eat so much kaleji. Even if you take a small piece, you must remember on this, I tell you one incident. People, they like anecdotes and narratives and that. Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah was Qazi al-Quzat, the chief justice. Remember during the Abbasid dynasty, Khalifa Harun Rashid and all of them. He is the greatest student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. He stayed with Imam Abu Hanifa for 18 years plus minus. So one day he delivered a discourse, a lecture. Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yuhibbu dubba. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam love pumpkin. So one person sitting there, simple Simon, you know, simple person. He said, Amma ana fala uhibbu dubba. As for me, I don't like it. So he took out his sword, you know, and he wanted. So it's not if the person don't like it, it's not a haram or something. But the way he said it is like he's opposing what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved. So therefore that enraged and made Imam Abu Yusuf furious and infuriated him. So therefore that food and drink and all that is different. Different people have their different taste. Islam allows that. But to go and announce it and that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved this, but I don't love. For what? Just keep quiet and carry on. So you don't have to go and start publicizing it and so forth. So that is what enraged and infuriated Imam Abu Yusuf.
Mufti Sahab, a question is, if a person slaughtered, for example, we slaughtered today, so if we fasted till the time we slaughtered and ate from that, would it still be beneficial?
So you must remember that is only on the 10th, not other days. So you must remember that, because wal fajri wa layalin ashr. So you must remember that the 10 nights, those are the most important nights. So on the day of Eid, so the sunnah is only on the day of Eid, that before Fajr, after Fajr, you don't eat anything, and then you go and perform your Eid Salat. MashaAllah, yesterday we went for Eid Salat here, and it was a wonderful feeling, you know, that the brothers were reading the takbir and so forth. Litukabbirullaha ala ma hadakum. Chapter 22, Surah Hajj, and verse number 37. So you glorify Almighty Allah because He gave you guidance. So then after you read and perform your Eid Salat, then the khutbah, the dua khutbah and so forth, and then you have the slaughtering. But if a person is slaughtering on the 11th or the 12th, so for him that laws don't apply. That he mustn't eat and mustn't drink and all that, they will not apply. It's only for the 10th.
Mufti Sahab, when slaughtering, the person says, I remembered saying Allahu Akbar, but I cannot remember saying Bismillah. May I totally, because I've totally forgot. What happens in this case?
Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala informs us, you must remember, وَلَا تَعْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٍ. That a person, remember, cannot eat and consume an animal where the name of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala was not taken. Why? Because that is fisq, that is, you must remember, a huge transgression, and it's haram then when a person omits it. Chapter 6, Surah An'am, and verse number 121. So we need to remember that reference, chapter 6, and number verse number 121. However, Islam also teaches us Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, and verse number 286, the last verse of Surah Baqarah, and cognizance must be taken of the fact that Surah Baqarah is atwalu suratin fil Quran. The longest surah chapter in the noble Quran is Surah Baqarah. So 286 verses. So Allah Jalla wala states in the last verse, la yukallifullahu nafsan illa wusaha, that the person will not be burdened more than his or her ability, capability, and so forth. Here there are three maslas. If a person left out the Bismillah amdan, qasdan, deliberately, intentionally, whether it's qurbani animal, whether it's ordinary animal, so your chicken or what have you, then remember, like what happens, you must remember in the abattoirs and all that, they're slaughtering 300,000 and what have you per day. So you, if a person leaves it out deliberately, intentionally, then you must remember it's haram and not permissible. That's one. Number two is this, if a person left it out nisyanan, he totally forgot. For example, this brother states that he read Allah Akbar, but he's not sure, or he forgot to read the Bismillah. So in that case, we will say the animal is halal and permissible and fit for Muslim consumption. Third one, and this is what's happening today at these abattoirs and all these places. Therefore, our fatwa is, one is because of the stunning and one is because of this. You must remember, Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah has mentioned this masla very nicely there in Kitabul And he said, if a person leaves out Bismillah because of istighfaf, they consider it unimportant, insignificant, Allah forbid, and so forth, then it's haram, you must remember that. So that is what's happening today. So istighfaf is taking place. People don't attach that importance to it. So what happens is this, because people follow the capitalistic system, the stunning is haram. Inna Allah kataba al-ihsana ala kulli shay, which is authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Abu Dawood, various compilations. Verily Almighty Allah has prescribed that you do ihsan, you fulfill your duty with beauty in everything. فَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ. So when you slaughter, then remember it must be done in a humane manner. The knife must be sharp, give the animal some water and so forth before sacrificing or slaughtering and so forth. And don't slaughter in front of other animals and so forth. So here, when you look at the abattoirs, you will see everything is going on haram there. Number one is the stunning. Number two is this, that Bismillah is omitted many times because of istighfaf. What happens if that person coughs, if that person sneezes, and the animals are just moving. And you must remember, third one will be that they want to slaughter the maximum amount in minimum time just to make profit, P-R-O-F-I-T. So therefore we say that these chickens and all these type of animals, we pass the fatwa of haram and we say not permissible. Because humanly also is not possible that person, even if he takes a break in between and so forth, if you work out on average, they have to slaughter 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 chicken and animals per day. So, I mean, you can work it out. You don't have to be a rocket scientist and so forth. So, therefore, we say Islam is the only religion that taught us human rights in the true sense of the word. Therefore, abortion, all that is haram. And you see the Western system, they say no, that human abortion is legal according to them, Allah forbid. So, you can see the double standards. They speak of animal rights, but because money is sweeter than honey, so you will find and that what they say, that the stunning of the animals, all that is halal and permissible for them. So obviously in Islam is not permissible. There's not one jurist I know of a proper jurist, not now people who are mufatiyas and all that. You know, Iqbal, Allama Iqbal wrote something very nice. He said, Pehle the mufti, masail ke batane wale, abhi hai mufti, mufke khane wale. So I'm not speaking of these sheikhs here. You must remember that. I'm speaking of the proper ulama, jurors. We don't know one who said that stunning and all that is permissible. So you must remember that therefore we must say that these animals are not fit for Muslim consumption. Where the stunning takes place, istighfaf takes place. Istighfaf is you don't consider and attach and the tasmiyah and bismillah, the importance it deserves and so forth. So therefore we say it's compulsory. So to say bismillah compulsory, to say Allahu Akbar is sunnah, and that is what we should be remembering every time we slaughter, not only qurbani time. You are slaughtering your chicken at home or whatever it is, so you want make a braai or whatever, so and you slaughtering, so say bismillah Allahu Akbar. So we always remember the name of Almighty Allah and thank Almighty Allah. Big animals, Almighty Allah subjugated it for us. You take a camel, how big it is, but we can sacrifice it and so forth, the cow and so forth. So all this is a manifestation of the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala.
Mufti Sahib, the question is, we slaughtered a pregnant animal and we did not know, and a baby came out and it was dead. So what must we do in this situation?
There's a hadith, you must remember, if you open Mishkat, Musnad Ahmad, various compilations, Zakatul Janin, Zakatul Ummihi, Zakatul Zakatul Janin, which means that. So when you slaughtered the mother and now the fetus came out, so you must remember the baby came out. So these two halats there, one of two things happen. Either the baby is dead. So if that baby, that fetus is dead, you must bury it. It's not fit for Muslim consumption. Innama harrama alaykumul mayta. Almighty Allah has made haram for you carrion. So when an animal dies, a natural death, or the baby is born, but it is dead. So in a case like that, it falls in the category of carrion. So you must bury it and get rid of it. You can't eat it, you can't sell it, you can't do anything with it. You can't give it to a non-Muslim also. So you must just bury it and end of the story with that. If the animal, that is the baby, you slaughtered, sacrificed the mother, and lo and behold you were unaware, pregnant, and the baby came out alive, then you must slaughter the baby as well. So that is the meaning of that hadith there. So it will count as one qurbani, not two. That's a bonus, because you know in camel it must be 5 years or above, in the cow it must be 2 years and more, goat and sheep must be 1 year and above. So you can't say, no, I made two qurbanis. No, that is just a baby, just few minutes or hours and so forth. So in a case like that, you will slaughter it and that will be the bonus and so forth. So that is the meaning of that hadith.
Mufti Sahib, in these times where people are suffering, can we go to the non-Muslim houses and give our qurbani meat?
100%. Remember, in this day and this age, you take South Africa, where there was so much rioting and so much looting and what have you. Somebody this morning, I was listening to the news, so they made a nice comment, you know. They said that, why did so many people join and become criminals and so forth? Nobody can condone it and nobody can justify it. But that person said that they see what the politicians are doing on top and everything. Not millions, it's gone to billions and maybe trillions and all that of rains and so forth. The stealing, corruption is going. So they said that today you must say the ANC and corruption are synonymous, you see. So therefore, you know, that now people, the masses, they see all these things here. Now they found this opportunity. So they also just jumped on the bandwagon and said, let us go and steal. Obviously, we also know it's haram and not permissible. So you must remember, so they also, some of them are regretting what they did. Others, for them it is just, you understand, an opportunity came for the criminality and so forth. So so many Muslims, so many non-Muslims in their businesses. I know of people that they lost millions and millions. You must remember that in matter of days, their whole shop and everything was wiped out and gone. So, and not only did they steal their stock, they burned the whole shop and everything, or factory or whatever. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. So in a case like that, we as Muslims, we should rise and go to these non-Muslims and take that qurbani meat. We know that the meat, what Nabi alayhi salam said, kulu wa at'imu wa dakhiru. Open Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmed. You yourself, you sacrificed it, so eat the meat. Wa at'imu, feed others. Wa dakhiru, you can store it also. People, they love biltong and all this type of thing. Open Mishkat Sharif, you will find it there. So similarly, yeah, especially the Hanafi school, they say that you take the qurbani meat, the animal and so forth, the meat, and you give it to non-Muslims, totally permissible. But remember one law, yeah, sometime our people, they look always for a loophole and, you know, for a shortcut and so forth. So what happens is this, that they tell somebody, clean my garden or wash my car or do this, do that, and then they give the qurbani meat to that person, Muslim or non-Muslim, in lieu of the services rendered or in lieu of labor. So that is haram, it's not permissible. So when we give it, it is a present, it is a gift we are giving to the person there. So cognizance must be taken of that as well. So yes, we will say, especially in South Africa and after the mayhem and looting and rioting, so the people are down and out. So we should use the Hanafi fatwa and give it out to them, mashallah, and that will be one form of da'wat. And they will say that, look at the Muslims. How many non-Muslims are sending messages even today on social media that from a young age, I'm looking at the Muslims, that they're giving out, where they give out food, they give out this, they do that. When there's a disaster, they're the first one. Therefore, I'm on record, not 100 times I said this. We Muslims in the world and South Africa, we are the most sober people on this earth, and we are the most generous as well. So this is a wonderful opportunity, and we should use it, inshallah. First, for the love of Almighty Allah, for the love of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and third, that ya Allah, help these people who are suffering also, and it will be a form of da'wat and invitation towards Islam.
Assalamu alaikum. We return back to this program. A question comes in, Mufti Sahib. A person says, can men in SA shave heads to imitate the Hujjaj, even if they didn't perform the Hajj?
No, you should not say that. You should do what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, that the hadith is authentic in Sahih Muslim. You say, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ هِلَالَ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ, when you saw the crescent, the new moon and so forth of Zul Hijjah, and وَأَرَادَ أَحَدُكُمْ أَيُّ ضَحِيَ, and you made intention you're going to slaughter, whether it's a cow or a goat or a sheep or whatever you, then فَلَا يَأْخُذْ مِنْ أَسْفَارِهِ وَلَا مِنْ أَسْفَارِهِ وَلَا مِنْ أَشْعَارِهِ شَيْئًا. So you don't clip your nails, you don't cut your hair and so forth. Once that is done, you are sure your qurbani udhiya is done, and then you start clipping your nails, because that is what Nabi alayhi salatu salam is teaching us. And remember, you start removing your hair and so forth. So that's fine. So that you must make that intention, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that. Now you must remember that when people ask us, what is the wisdom behind this? So we say, no, we are imitating the hajis and so. But that is not in the hadith of imitating. That is from ulama side. So therefore I'm saying, so you must rather make intention that is the teaching of Nabi alayhi salatu salam. You see, in life, you must always, usul is a principle you must remember, that always we must give the naqal. We must give the Quran, the Sunnah preference. And then the aqli, our reasoning and wisdom and all that must be given second rank. And it must be a secondary point. That must not be the primary point. So here you say, even I'm going now after the program, you must remember Thursday I go to the barber. From here I'm going to the barber. So now you understand that we'll tell him clean ye, shave ye, whatever. So we say that because last week we didn't go. So in this way, yeah, you say, because that is the teaching of Nabi alayhi salam. Then secondly, you will say that one way you can say is like imitating the Hujjah. charge and so forth and so on. So keep everything in their proper principles.
Mufti Sahib, a person wants to know, I still did not make Qurbani, and the sheep that are left are the ones without broken are the ones with broken ones and short tails. What should I do?
So you must remember, there are so many sheep, so many animals available. I don't know where you are. So you can just phone and contact these people who are slaughtering and so forth. See, brother, that I show you something. I don't know you, right? So now you come and give me a gift. But that you give me a pen. So now when you go on, I open that pen and start writing, it's not writing. So what you did? Did you really honor me or you mess me around, basically? You understood? So when we spend in the path of Allah, so Qurbani is to make our love for Almighty Allah, to emulate, imitate the Sunnah and the way of Khalilullah Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, the way of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi salam. And see what Quran Kareem teaches us. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu anfiqu min tayyibat. When you spend in the path of Almighty Allah, spend the best. When I went for my Qurbani, meaning on telephone, I spoke to the Maulana and that I asked him that what are your prices and so forth. So he said this price. This. I said okay, the one that's most expensive, I want that one there. So that is what we must do as Muslims. Not look for loopholes and shortcuts and those and this type of things. So Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu anfiqu min tayyibati ma kasabtum. And wala tayammamul khabith. So what you are doing, brother, you're looking for that which is a defective one. And that's exactly what Allah Ta'ala says we must not do. Open Surah Baqarah chapter number 2 and verse number 267. So remember chapter 2 verse 267. So you, my brother, you got today Thursday. You still got Thursday. You got Friday also till tomorrow before Maghrib time. So my advice, don't slaughter an animal that has a defect. That either this is broken and this is broken or the tail is missing and so forth and so on. You will get fatwas from here and there. They'll tell you it's permissible. But is that the essence of Qurbani, I'm asking you? It's not the essence of Qurbani. So therefore, in the path of Allah, see, I gave you Quran, Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 267. Hadith, authentic hadith. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Allah tayyibun la yaqbalu illa tayyiba. That Allah Jalla wala is pure. And he loves what is pure. So Allah will only accept that which is pure. You see, my brother? That's two. Third one. This is a nice one, Mawlana Zaid. You must try and remember it also. So some people said it's hadith. It's not hadith, but it's a saying of the fuqaha, of the jurors. Azzimu dhahayakum fa'innaha matayakum. Azzimu dhahayakum. When you choose your animal, the goat, the sheep, the cow, the camel, choose the one that is nice and healthy and nice and big and so forth. Why? Azzimu dhahayakum fa'innaha matayakum. It is your means of conveyance. On, you know, our people say pull sirat. So in Arabic, the word is sirat. Pull is Urdu. So remember that this animal, the sacrifice, is your means of conveyance straight into Jannah. Now imagine that you got there, that this is broken, this is broken. Brother, there you might just fall down then. Big problem then. فَإِنَّهَا مَطَايَاكُمْ. So that is my advice to you. You still got time? You got, if you want, if you are here in the Johannesburg area and so forth, here in the deer. You know, that Maulana Farhan Patel and them, mashallah, they do Qurbani and so forth. If you are there in Durban and all these areas, so just phone the Darul Ulooms. Oh yeah, Darul Ulum Zakaria also, they do. Isn't they do the Qurbani also? You can contact them. Oh, you there in Durban, you contact the Darul Ulooms and that. So they also, so many places they do. So in that way, they will slaughter a nice animal for you and you can do EFT, or you come yourself and you slaughter it. So don't look for loopholes. That's my advice to you, brother.
Mufti Sahib, moving on to Hajj, the people who are performing Hajj, what are the actions that they have left and sent forth?
You must remember that today, you understood, if you take their calendar, our calendar year is the 11th of Zulhijjah. So for them, today is the 12th of Zulhijjah. Now let me make one point very clear here, because so many people are listening, inshallah al-Aziz, that Sirius FM also is on. So inshallah, so that the listeners of Sirius FM also are on. And so, and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba. So in a case like that what we should do is this, that we should try and ensure that we get this message out as far as possible to everybody. On these days, the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the best dua to read, as mentioned in the Quran Sharif, Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 201, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. That you, Muslim, you should be reading this dua. Ya Allah, whatever is good, the best in this world, our health, our wealth, and our iman, our Islam, whatever is permissible and good, we ask of that, Ya Allah, Jalla Wala. And in the year after, whatever is the best, Ya Allah, give us that, Jannat al-Firdaus, Ru'yat al-Bari Ta'ala, to see Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, Shafa'at al-Nabi al-Mustafa, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that the intercession of the Master alayhi salam, to receive the water bi yadihi sharifa from the Mubarak blessed hand of the Master alayhi salam, we drink the water of Hawza Kawthar, to meet Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all that were fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar, Ya Allah, and you save us from the Jahannam and the punishment of the fire and so forth. So I appeal to all of you, fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, children, that read this dua. Is the best dua to read during these days here. Now if you go there, so the Hajis are there now in Mina. So let me break it up for you so you will understand properly. You see, on the 8th, they left Makkah and they came to Mina. So that is Yawmut Tarwiyah, the day of quenching the thirst. Those days, the camels give them water, give them all that. Nowadays, the oil and the petrol and diesel. The 9th, Yawm Arafah, right? The people must be in Arafah, the Hajis. And that's the most important. Imam Tirmidhi said, Al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith, Al-Hajju Arafah. And he commented and put a note, وَهَذَا الْحَدِيثُ أُمُّ الْمَنَاسِكُ. Then the 10th day, يَوْمُ النَّحَرُ. And that is for the Hajis, there's no Eid Salat. You must remember that. For the Hujjaj, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not perform Eid Salat. So, because there's a lot of jobs to do, a lot of work to do, that day you will come back, you will go to Arafat, then you will go to Muzdalifah, then before sunrise, you leave Muzdalifah, you come to Mina, you have to pelt the big Jamara Aqaba, and thereafter no dua, you move away, then sacrificing Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his yadihi sharifa, with his own Mubarak hands, he sacrificed 63 camels. Thereafter Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu sacrificed the 37, there were 100 camels. And remember, thereafter the shaving of the hair, and thereafter Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sahaba went to Makkah, performed tawaful ifada, tawaful ziyara. Hanafis call it Tawaful Ziyara, Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's call it Tawaful Ifada. It's the same Tawaf, the names are just different. And thereafter you make Sa'i in your normal clothes, you read two rakats after the Tawaf ended. Then you come back to Mina. So 8th, Yawmul Tarwiyah. 9th, Yawm Arafah. 10th, Yawmul Nahar. For me and you, we say the 10th is Eidul Adha. But for the Hujjaj, Yawmul Nahar, the day of slaughtering. Then 11th, this is very interesting. So you must remember, you call it Yomul Qarr, Qaf Ra. What mean Qarr? The day you must stay. That is different thing, our South Africans, and that when we perform a Hajj, they all look for excuse. Because Mina, you know, say, no, I'm coming now. But they're running to Azizia, running to Makkah, yeah, you know. So I tell them, is Yomul Qarr, you must be here. Qarr means you must stay here quietly. So we stay with Allah's help and Allah's mercy. So that is, you stay in Mina. That is 11th. 12th is Yomul Nafar. Nafar means that the day of departure. Now see, I give you from Quran Kareem. So on the 11th, you are going to pelt all three Jamarat, all three symbolic shaitans. And remember, one is fatwa and one is taqwa. So فَمَنْ تَعَسِي what Allah Ta'ala says, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ. You must remember Almighty Allah Jalla Wala during these few days. So it means to remember Almighty Allah abundantly. So we should keep our tongue moist. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, durood sharif, salawat upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, istighfar, and Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasanata wa qina adhaban nar. So yeah, Almighty Allah teaches us in Surah chapter 2, verse number 203. So faman ta'ajjala fi yawmain, you pelted on the 11th, so that was yesterday there by them in Makkah, Mina, and you pelting today the 12th, and all this pelting is after Zawal, according to all four schools. So like now, there by them is 10 to 1 now, for example. So they can start pelting already. So many of them will be there pelting, and then they will go back to Makkah. So that is fatwa. So yawmun nafar, nafar il awwal, you can start departing now. And waman ta'akhara, who stays. So when we to educate the hujjat, some people perform 5 hajj, 10 hajj, 11 hajj. They came themselves and told me first time in their life they're hearing this thing. I always tell them when I meet them in Medina or Makkah before hajj, 1 week, 2 weeks, I say, everyone make intention, we're making 6-day hajj. So the agents and that normally promote 5-day hajj. So we promote 6-day hajj. So what is the meaning of 6-day hajj? We're going to stay the extra day. وَمَنْ تَأَخَّرَ. So whosoever stays that 13th day, فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى. So that is the taqwa, you see. So to leave on the 12th will be the nafar. See, yeah, Mawana Zaid is something nice. So 10th, يَوْمُ النَّحَر, the day of sacrifice. 11th, Yawmul Qarr, the day of staying in Mina. And 12th will be, which is today the 12th day, so Yawmul Nafar. So after pelting all three symbolic shaitan, so then you can move, you go back to Makkah and so forth, and then you make your tawaful wida, and then you can depart for your house, you see. But now, Qarr was the 11th, and now you stay till the 13th, the extra day, which is tomorrow there. So remember that what you will do, again, after the wal, and after Zohar, then you pelt, and then you go. So we wish to stay, read Zohar Salat, make dua, and then we take our luggage, and we go. Yawmul Farr, Fafirru ilallah. One is qarr and one is farr. So now you must make farra yafirru. Now you move, now finish, you see. So that is how you must understand it. So this way, and you will be now reading Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. You will be reading takbir. Now here also is another masla. One takbir is takbir e mutlaq. So takbir and mutlaq means daytime, nighttime, anytime you read takbir. So when we're leaving our tents, our camps, all that, we're going towards, I would tell everybody, takbir, takbir brothers. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallahu, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar walillahi alhamd. That you call takbir mutlaq. It means that you're reading it anytime. And one is takbir muqayyad. That is after each salat, the takbir tashriq. So that will finish that on the 13th. So in South Africa, we will be reading today takbir after Zohar and all the salats. And then after tomorrow, Friday, after Jummah and all 5 salats. Then Saturday, we will be reading. And that will be after Fajr, Zohar and Asr. So this is takbir muqayyad. So remember, and for them, they will be reading takbir. Remember, that is, you know, that in takbir, they'll be reading muqayyad till tomorrow after Asr, because they're one day ahead of us. Allah just put one thought in my mind. You know, one hajj we performed. So when I came back home, so, yeah, it means I maybe got the first flight out or something. It just depends the agents, you know. So sometimes they tell you, you want to go quickly? I said, yes. So when I reach home, yeah, Heidelberg, because from the airport I go straight to Heidelberg. So you must remember. So they were still reading takbir there, Zohar time or Asr time. So meaning the hajj was finished, we made everything. And when we came here, because we one day or so ahead of them, and the direct flights that time and so forth, so mashallah, so when we reach home, the people were still reading takbir here. So it's like that. So you must remember these issues also.
Muftisab, regarding Hajj, what are the lessons that we can learn? This last, the last Hajj, meaning in 2020, the year before this, was...
Remember that 2020 Hajj was very, very disappointing. Only 1,000 people went for Hajj. So we called it like a picnic that was, they went. Even this year, only 60,000. If you know anything about Hajj, then you will know that always there's 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, 4 million is the biggest crowd. In 1992, you must remember that was after the Gulf War and so forth and so on. So there was no restriction. It was free for all and so forth. We only entered Arafat 3 o'clock, 3:30 because of the crowd and whatever you. So anyway, cut long story short, you must remember, and from an Islamic perspective, it's not permissible. So in a case like this, this is the main issue we need to address. Which is the main issue? Quran Kareem teaches us, when you go for Hajj, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ, that you will witness with your own eyes the nafa, the benefit that comes to you. Therefore, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he performed 60 hajja, 60 hajj. أَعْتَقَ أَلْفَ عَبْدٍ وَأَتَمَرَ أَلْفَ مَرَّةٍ, he settles, liberated, emancipated 1,000 slaves, and he performed 1,000 umrahs. And remember, Imam Abu Hanifa performed 55 hajj. People asked him, for what you have to go? You have to read this verse. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. Pirane Pir, Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Rahimahullah, remember 50 Hajj. So what is this Hajj? It's a journey of love. And it is a sign in Islam that إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى, that we are all dressed in one, our ihram. One person multi-billionaire, another one multi-millionaire, another one beggar, pauper. So that is what Allah Ta'ala is teaching us. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. That by Allah, your wealth, your complexion, your features, all that got nothing. It's not the criteria. The criteria by Allah is your iman, your Islam, your piety, your taqwa, and so forth. So that is one of the greatest lessons we learn in the Hajj. Next important point, that is very important, I have to mention it before I conclude. Now say, Mawzai, did you perform Hajj?
No.
Okay, you haven't performed Hajj, right? Now let's say, I don't know, but we just say, Hajj is compulsory upon you, right? And now you can't perform Hajj because they're not allowing. So you must remember what happens to you and what happens to them. So in a case like that, upon those people, upon whom Hajj is compulsory, but for all these reasons, what they're doing, imposing this law, that law, so you must write affidavit or in your will that somebody must perform my Hajj if I pass away before performing my Hajj. And you leave the money and all that. Nowadays, minimum 50, 60 grand it is, because it's very expensive nowadays. And for them, remember that they are the sinners. The sin is on them because they are the ones who prevented the people from coming for Hajj. So therefore, the authorities who are not allowing the foreigners from other countries to come, the sin is on them. Therefore, we say this restriction of 1,000 and 60,000 Islamically is unacceptable and not permissible. So that's a very important issue also we should know. Okay, let me just run through the program we're going to have now. Inshallah, 12 o'clock, we're having the news with Brother Yusuf Ali. Thereafter, 12 to 1, Maulana Abdul Haq Magda, mashallah, sabr and shukr. That a Muslim, either patience or either thankful gratitude. Then 1 o'clock, Zohar Azan, 1:05 to 1:30, our report back kidnapping. 1:30 to 2 will be Surah Tawbah, starting point verse 41. Then 2 to 3, Madrasa on Air, Maulana Zahid Khan. 3 to 3:30, the repeat of this morning's Q&A. So that is where, this morning we had 3:30 to 4 will be What is Haram in Islam in Urdu. Mufti Zarwali Khan, he passed away also a few months ago or so. So, and 4 to 5 will be Tawheed by part 2 by Maulana Ibrahim Adam Rahimahullah. So, and then 5 to 7, Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30, the khutbah of Friday, that is, whatever, you understand, translation and so forth. 7:30 to 8, Maulana Yunus Patel. 8 to 10, Maulana Arafat, Maulana Salim Karim, inshallah, the discussion. 10 to 11, heaven, Mohana Ridwan Kaji. So that is our lineup. Make dua for us and the Ummah at large. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Saab and all the listeners. We head on for the news now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.